Book of Ruth, chapter 1. I want to welcome those that are here or listening, and are here and are listening via live stream, radio. My mom always told me I had a face for radio. I don't know what she meant by that, but anyways. So I'm on the radio. Some of y'all will catch that a little bit later, amen? All right. But anyways, good to have visitors with us this morning. We have Pastor and Laura, is that Farthing? Where are you folks at? All right, thank you so much for being here. And I don't know if you're familiar with this church. I'm not the pastor, but good to see you here this morning. And we have Dave Wingate. Where's Dave at this morning? Oh, Dave, good to see you this morning. Good to have you. And Joe, is it Barker's? Barker? Good to see you this morning. Wonderful. All right, good to have everybody here this morning. We're going to be in the book of Ruth today. We're going to be in chapter 1 this morning, and we're going to be in chapter 2 tonight. I was studying the book of Ruth some time ago, and the Lord gave me a thought to title the four chapters in the book of Ruth. And not just title them, but to give them, the titles that I gave them were titles from hymns that are in our hymn book. And so chapter 1, I gave the title, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And that's what I'm going to preach about this morning. Tonight we're going to come back in chapter 2, and I titled chapter 2, Amazing Grace. Chapter 3, I titled, Draw Me Nearer, Nearer Blessed Lord, that great hymn. And then chapter 4, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. So let's look at chapter number 1 of the book of Ruth, and it's a wonderful story. I love the book of Ruth. I don't know if you've studied it or not. Many of you no doubt have, and it's a wonderful story. It's a love story between Ruth and a man by the name of Boaz. We're going to talk about that this morning and this evening. You know, it seems like everybody loves love and loves love stories. I heard about some girls that were in a Christian college. And they were in the dormitory and they were praying. You know what they were praying? They said this, Lord, give us pure hearts. Lord, give us clean hearts. Lord, give us sweet hearts. And they said, ah, man. Anyways, all right. We all love a love story. Some of y'all will catch that a little bit later on too. Amen. It's one of those senior citizens jokes you get when you're 65. Amen. But there's only two books in the whole Bible that have the title as a lady, Esther and Ruth. And Ruth is an amazing book because it's almost entirely about her. And Ruth is a picture, and you need to learn this, is a picture in the Old Testament of the church. And Boaz, she marries Boaz, and he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the most beautiful teaching we have in all the Bible about the redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is found in the book of Ruth. Now the story is this. Ruth was from Moab. She was a pagan. She, spiritually speaking, she was from the wrong side of the tracks. And she comes to Israel. She comes to Bethlehem in particular. And she meets Boaz, and Boaz is very rich, he's very strong, he's very kind, he's very good, and Boaz was a bachelor. And it's a Cinderella story. The maid from Moab marries the bachelor from Bethlehem, and there's all sorts of things in this great book of the Bible called Ruth. Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, at one time in his life, was an ambassador to the country of France. And he went there, and he was asked while he was there to be a part of a literary society. And this literary society was anti-God. They were agnostic. And you know what Benjamin Franklin did? He got up, they said, Mr. Franklin, could you just picture them? Would you give us a reading tonight? You know what he did? He gave them the story of the book of Ruth. And they were amazed at it. They said, wow. They said, that is amazing. They said, that is beyond a doubt the most beautiful romance love story that we've ever heard. Then they said this, would you give us leave, please, that we may have it published and give it broad distribution? Benjamin Franklin said, it's already been published. And it already has broad distribution. It's in that book, the Bible that you profess to despise. But Ruth was written in dark days. Before we look at chapter 1, verse 1, go to the previous verse in your Bible, chapter 21, verse 25 of Judges. Ruth was written in dark day. It was written in the time of the judges. And notice what it says here in Judges 21, 25. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So you know what it was like in Ruth's day? Anarchy, chaos, apostasy, apathy, sin was rampant, and all those things. It was a dark day, and in the middle of this dark day of chaos, God gives us the book of Ruth, which reminds us that God is still alive. Amen. He's still on the throne. Even though you and I are living in a dark day today, you and I, listen, I refuse to despair because there is still a God in the glory. Amen. God is not dead. I spoke to him today. And listen, we can see God work in our day and in our time, just like he did in the book of Ruth. And by the way, we ought to shine brighter today than we've ever shined before. This is a dark day, then our lights ought to shine brightly. Amen. It ought to. But listen, so if you're discouraged here this morning, if you've looked around and you've saturated yourself this past week with Fox News or CNN or any of those others, and you say it's so dark, listen, I have some wonderful hope for you. It's in the book of Ruth this morning. And if you and I will do what Ruth did, and that, you know what she did? We'll see it this morning. She yielded her heart to the Lord. And God can make your life and my life a love story, just like he did in the book of Ruth. So this is a bright hope for a dark day. Now, Ruth chapter 1 is a story about decisions. I want us to think about that this morning. And what we're going to focus on this morning in Ruth chapter 1 is we're going to see the decisions that two people made. One, his name is Elimelech. The other is Ruth. And we're going to talk about choices today, the decisions that we make. Elimelech made a terrible decision, as we'll see. But Ruth made a wonderful decision. Now that leads me to say this, and listen very carefully. Our lives are the sum total of our choices. Truth? That's true. You could say it this way. Our decisions determine our destiny. Well, and so we're going to learn this morning the importance of decisions. You know, we make decisions every single day, don't we? Whether we like it or not, whether we want to or not, we make decisions. Now let's look at Ruth chapter 1. Are you there? Ruth chapter 1, and look at verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem. Now let's stop right there in verse 1. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. It's where the bread of life, his name's Jesus, amen? It's where he came from. So Bethlehem means house of bread. Keep reading, verse 1. Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Verse 2, Ruth chapter 1. And the name of the man was Elimelech. What's Elimelech mean? Elimelech means my God is king. And the name of his wife, Naomi. Now, what's Naomi mean? Naomi means pleasantness. Pleasantness. So you see here, this guy has a godly heritage. My God is king, lives in Bethlehem, the land, the house of bread. He marries this lady by the name of Naomi. And the Bible says, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now let me give you the background of where we're at. There came a time in this day that there came a famine in the house of bread. There was a famine in the land of Bethlehem. Now don't miss this. Elimelech, rather than trusting God, goes to the pagans, goes to the Moabites. Now you say, who were the Moabites? Well, the Moabites were the enemies of Israel. They had invaded it. They had subdued it for 18 years. They were pagans. They were cruel. Moab was born out of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughter. It's a terrible place. It is an awful place But here is a man, are you listening? A man of God who makes a terrible choice. Let me ask you to consider these things. Three things I want us to think about this morning about choices. I'm going to go ahead and warn you. The first two are negative, but the third one is wonderful. Number one this morning, but we need to hear both sides. We need to be warned and we need to be encouraged. Number one, consider this thought, the principle of a willing choice. The principle of a willing choice. You see, God has given us a will to choose. And by the way, I'm glad for that. I was witnessing to someone the other day, and I told that person, I said, sir, God loves you and wants you to love him in return. But he made us, but in order for us to love him, he had to give us the opportunity not to love him. We had a free will to choose, and I went through the Garden of Eden, how man sinned and how he was a sinner and how he needed to be saved. And I left him a gospel track, and I'm praying that he gets saved. He didn't get saved that day. But friend, God has given us a will to choose, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad that God did not make us robots. Amen? Can you imagine that? I love God. I will go to church. How do you translate that, sister? But anyways, amen. I'm looking at her. She turned around and looked at me like, well, what am I supposed to do with that? Okay, all right, ready? One, two, three.
I love church. I will go to church. I am a robot.
They're probably doing the sign for loco to me right now, and I don't even know it. I wouldn't even know, but anyways. I'm glad he didn't make us that way, amen? God made us moral creatures. Consider this thought about choices. Number one, you ready? We are free to choose. We are free to choose. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you, God says, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. God allowed us to choose. And by the way, in America, don't we love choices? I mean, you can walk into Sheets, the gas station, tomorrow and say, boy, it's a warm day. I'm going to get something to drink. And there's like 3,000 choices. It's incredible. I was a youth pastor down in North Georgia for 8.5 years. We took our kids to a place called the World of Coca-Cola. It's a museum about Coca-Cola. And down there, they had every, and you go through the tour, and when you're done, you get to see, they have a line, like one of those dispensers, of everything that Coca-Cola makes. And it's a long line. Of course, we had brilliant teenagers as part of our youth group. And what they did was, they took one of everything. It went all the way down the line. And then they drank it. And then they had this divine revelation. Oh! That is so gross. And then they're teenagers, so they don't have brains. They're like, yeah, it's gross, isn't it? And then they're drinking it some more because it was gross. We love choices in America. I mean, it's amazing. You can make 74 choices if you go out to breakfast. Right? You say, I'm going to go out to breakfast. Then you sit down, and the waitress grills you. What do you want? And you're like, I don't know. French toast? I don't know. Eggs? I don't know. Pancakes? And you settle on the eggs. I want eggs. What kind? I mean, come on. Hard, soft, scrambled, over easy, over medium. How do you want them? Boiled? Do you want an omelet? What do you want? Omelet. What do you want in that omelet? I mean, ham, bacon, I mean, cheese, broccoli. What do you want? Put some meat in there. Well, you want potatoes? Yeah. Well, what kind? I mean, you want them sliced? You want them fried, right? Okay. Toast. You want toast? Yeah. What kind? We got raisin. We got wheat. We got Texas. We got white. We got rye. And by the time, I mean, it's amazing. You go out to breakfast, you got to make 93 choices. You feel like when you're done with breakfast, you just feel like, whew, survived that one. We'll go home and take a nap. We like choices. We're free to choose. Now, some choices are inconsequential, right? White or wheat. Tie you decided to wear today, or your earrings, ladies, you decided to wear. But you know what? Some choices are vitally important. Elimelech made a choice. Did you get a hold of that? Number one, you're free to choose. Would you consider this thought, second of all, under this first point? Number two, you are not free not to choose. You are not free not to choose. You know, you got to love these people who say, I ain't going to make a choice. Guess what they just did? They made a choice. They made a choice not to choose. All right? We will make choices. All right? Now listen, you're either going to decide for Jesus Christ or you're going to decide against Jesus Christ. Jesus said that himself in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You will make a decision. You cannot be neutral about Jesus Christ. If you're lost here this morning, you will either receive Jesus or you will reject Jesus. If you're listening on the internet today, you will either receive Jesus or you will reject Jesus. If you're listening on the radio today, you either receive Jesus or you reject Jesus, but you will make a choice. Sometimes we go to church and they'll say, there were three decisions for Jesus today. No, there wasn't. Count up how many people were in the auditorium. That's how many people made a choice. Everybody makes a choice. You cannot be neutral. And those who say, I choose not to choose, just chose, didn't they? All right? Number one, do you get it? You're free to choose. Number two, you're not free not to choose. Number three, consider this. You're not free to choose the consequences of your choice. You see, once you choose, then your choice chooses for you. You can go up into a 10-story building today, open up the window, and step out. You have the freedom to choose that, correct? But guess what? After that, your choice will choose for you. And I can promise you, you are not going to break the law of gravity. You are going to demonstrate it. Amen. All right? Listen, we need to understand that there are choices that we make. Consider this forethought and don't miss it. One big choice, don't miss this, one big choice will help you in a lot of little choices. You ought not have to get up every day and wonder if you're going to watch filth on television. You ought not have to get up every day and wonder if you're going to turn on the raunch on the radio. Are you with me this morning? Somebody say amen right there, all right? Amen. One big choice that I'm going to follow the Lord will help you in a lot of little choices. By the way, I didn't have to wonder if I was going to be in church today. I already made that choice. Every time the doors are open, now I realize I'm the worst church member that you have. I understand that. I could be the best one. I'm not sure. I do tithe and give, but I never show up. I realize that. But I'm in church somewhere. Hey, listen, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, somewhere. Hey, listen, I don't have to decide that. I don't have to decide this afternoon if I'm going to go to church or not. That's already made the choice. You see, one big choice takes care of a lot of little choices. How many of you husbands and wives can testify to this? How many of you ever say, I'm going to go out to eat? And then you get in the car. Then what do? You're driving down the road. You're driving by all these restaurants. And what's the conversation? What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. What have you had this past week? You want Mexican? No, I had Mexican. I had tacos on Tuesday. No, can't do that. Well, you want Chinese? No, we had stir fry Wednesday night. Remember right before church? Oh, yeah, that's right. And you're driving by restaurants. And then you go all past all the restaurants, and then you're done. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? What do you like? I don't know. What do you like? You know what helps? Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's a free plug, but if Cracker Barrel wants to, I'll wear an emblem when I preach. No. No, you make up your mind. Let's go here. Right? And guess what? Guess what? That one decision eliminates everything else. See what I'm saying? I have decided to follow Jesus. Helps you with all the other decisions. One choice helps with all the other choices. One big choice. But I want you to go with me to Ruth chapter 1. I want you to see that here this man by the name of Elimelech, whose name means my God is king, made a bad choice. So that leads me to the second thought this morning. Number one, the principle of a willing choice. And number two this morning, consider this thought, the problem with a wicked choice. The problem with a wicked choice. Elimelech made a wicked choice. He got out of the will of God. He went into the land of Moab. He meant some amazing words at the end of verse 2. If you're not careful, you just miss them. Look at the end of verse 2. Ruth chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible says that he went into the land of Moab, and the very last phrase of verse 2 says, and continued there. Wow. You know what's amazing about the land of Moab in our lives? We never intend to stay there, but more times than not, we do. You know the old phrase, sin will take you further than you plan to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. A lot of truth there. A lot of truth there. He went into the land of Moab, but here's the problem. Don't miss it. Moab got into him. He stayed for 10 years, and he met tragedy there because, you know, listen, he met tragedy there because he didn't trust the Lord. What was the reason for his choice? Consider this thought under the second thought here, the problem with a wicked choice. Number one, are you listening? He had the wrong motive in his choice. He had the wrong motive in his choice. His motive was physical. His motive was bread. His motive was food rather than spiritual. Matthew 6:33 is still in our King James Bible, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're to seek Christ first. God will take care of the rest. Say amen right there. How many of us can testify to that? Amen. Amen. You see, he didn't seek Christ first. He sought things first. He sought things first. What motivated Elimelech was the physical. You know, there's a lot of people, they seek things first and then they want to just tag God on at the end. God doesn't work that way. Hey, friend, listen. God never works in second place. Amen. He does not have a duplex for a throne. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, listen, God ought to be preeminent in everything in our lives. Let me ask you a question. Hypothetical. What if your pastor came back from Ireland? He's gone this Sunday. He's gone next Sunday. He comes up here in 2 weeks from now, just like I am here this morning. And he gets up and says, "Church, I'm leaving." And here's the reason. There's a church in such and such town that's going to give me twice the salary that you guys give me. So I'm out of here, man. I'm done. See ya. What would you think? What would you think? You know what probably some of you are thinking? Good riddance. If he's in it for the money, good riddance. And you know what? You'd be right. But let me ask you a question. What about a man who comes up to that same pastor in 2 weeks and says, "We're going to such and such town for work because we're going to get paid more money to go there." He said, well, that's different. No, it's not different. That pastor would be living by the physical, but so is that same man. He may be getting out. Well, now listen, God may lead a pastor to another church. God may lead a man to go to another town. You know what I found when I pastored? Some people, they'll leave. They don't even know if there's a good church there. And they've already made their decision. Is there a good church there? Is there a Bible-believing church? Well, we don't know. We're just going for the money. Friend, what I'm saying is, that's what Elimelech did. He made a decision based on the physical. It was not a walk by faith. He was living by sight, and he got into trouble. He said, "Well, man's got to live." No, he doesn't. He's got to die. Then he's going to stand before God. You know what faith is? Faith is believing God in spite of appearances and obeying God in spite of consequences. Not living by sight, but by faith. He had the wrong motive. Number two, listen, he served the wrong master. He got into Moab. He left the covenant blessings of Israel. He got with the ungodly pagans. He found himself in the devil's camp. He did those things. He disgraced the Lord. He got out of the will of God because he lived by the physical. You know what? And the consequences were devastating. He died there. What an irony that is. He went for life and found death. He died over there. I mean, he died and his sons took wives of the Moabites over there. And by the way, you hang out in Moab, don't be surprised if your children marry Moabites. And they married Moabites, and guess what? Even his sons died. Look at verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Look at verse 4, chapter 1. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Also both of them and the woman. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. It's amazing. And Naomi, who means blessedness, she's not very pleasantness, she's not very pleasant now. Her husband is dead. Her sons are dead. She's left with her two daughters-in-law. Isn't it amazing? He went and found, tried to find life, but he found a grave. Can't run from God. And by the way, don't think you can get out of the will of God and have the blessings of God. You know, we pray a lot of times, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. You know, I've stopped trying to pray that. Instead of saying, God bless what I'm doing, you know what I say? God help me to do what you're blessing. You see what I'm saying? Not God bless what I'm doing. God help me to do what you're blessing. God help me to get into a place of blessing where you are blessing, where God can bless us. Naomi here, look at verse 13. She starts blaming God. You ever heard anybody blame God? That'll happen. It says, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them? She's talking about having more children. Stay for them, having a husband. Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Verse 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And now she's blaming God. But you know what? It wasn't God's fault. It was their own choice. You know, we can do that sometimes. We can blame God. It's not God's fault. It's our own choices many times. Now, number three, you say, boy, that's discouraging. Well, let's turn the coin now. All right? Let's turn the coin. Number one, what did we say? The principle of a willing choice. Number two, the power of a wicked choice, or the problems with a wicked choice. Number three, the power of a wise choice. Because here's what I want you to see. I mean, it is doom and gloom and terrible for the first, all these verses in verse 1 through verse about 15, and then it changes. Let's see it together, all right? I mean, you talk about Ruth. Here she is, and she's going to make a choice, and it's an amazing choice. The Bible tells us that Ruth becomes an ancestress to Jesus Christ and King David, and God did amazing work in her life. By the way, you think you had it bad. You think about Ruth. She was under a curse. She was under a curse. She was a Moabite. But by the way, hang on a second. Without Christ, we're under a curse. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 says, and that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. And here's what I want you to see. You know what the law said about Ruth, who was a Moabitess? Stay out. Stay out. You know what grace? We'll talk about more about that tonight. I mean, tonight is shouting time. You come to chapter 2, man. You just want to go, woo! Because here's the thing. You know what the law said about Ruth? Stay out. You know what grace said about Ruth? Come on in. Amen? Come on in, Ruth. Come on in. She was under a curse. Consider this. Not only did she have a cursed life, she had a crushed life. I mean, this lady knew sorrow. Her husband is dead. She's a young widow. I mean, she was crushed. She's in the land of Moab, this wicked place. Let me ask you a question. Do you have sorrow this morning then? The book of Ruth has something wonderful for you. But not only is she cursed and not only is she crushed, she's condemned. Her husband, her provider, her protector is dead. There's no social security in those days. There's no way for them to take care of themselves. And just as though she was condemned, we through Adam and our own sin are also condemned. The same God that made a way for Ruth, though, we're going to see makes a way for us. Amen. But Ruth made a decision. I want you to see it. Let's pick it up here in verse number 7. Verse number 7, Ruth chapter 1. Look at verse number 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. Ruth chapter 1, verse 7. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Look at verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. You know what I like about verse 14? And I'm not against emotional decisions. You want to cry and weep when God works in your heart, that's fine. You know what I like? Not only did she cry, she cleaved. Amen? This is the decision she makes. Now look at verse 15. And she said, verse 15, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Now, so let's stop right there. How backslidden Naomi is right there. To tell Ruth to go back to her false gods. To go back to her pagan gods. Look how backslidden she is there. But look at verse 16. Here's where it turns around. Here's Ruth. She makes a decision for God. Don't miss it. And Ruth said, verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Can I show you very quickly seven things? Just rapid fire. You ready? Seven new things that happened to Ruth. By the way, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Seven new things. I want you to see them in these verses. First of all, in this decision that Ruth makes for God, number one, there's a new determination. A new determination. You know what she says here in verse 16? I will go with you. You know what we need to do? Say to the Lord, God, I am going with you. A new determination. The Bible says of Daniel that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. A new determination. Number two, hey listen, you get a new determination. Number two, you'll get a new direction. She says here in verse 16, whither thou goest, I will go. By the way, you know what a Christian is? You know what a Christian is? A follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? A follower of Jesus Christ. I love the hymn that we sing, wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Remember what Jesus said? Follow me. There was a new direction. Number three, there was a new dependence. She says, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. In other words, I'm coming into your household. I'm coming into your shelter. I'm coming into your provision. I am looking to you for my provision. By the way, that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. His provision. A new dependence. Number four, she got a new desire. She said, thy people shall be my people. In other words, I want to be with your people. I don't want to be with the pagans anymore. I don't want to be with the heathen anymore. I don't want to be in this cursed, dark, sinful land that we're in. I want to be with the people of God. And by the way, when you get saved, that'll happen to you. By the way, I don't believe you have to beg a golfer to go golf. I don't believe you have to beg a lady who likes to shop to go to the mall. I believe you ought not have to beg a Christian to go to church. Amen? You want to go. You want to be with the people of God. And that's what she said. I'm going with your people. Amen for that. A new desire. Number five, she got a new devotion. She said, thy God, my God. You know what she's saying? I'm turning from my false idols. I'm turning from those things. Your God, it's not just your God anymore. It's my God. By the way, you know what we need every second generation? Somebody help me right now. And third generation to say, no, is He your God? He's my God. Amen. I'm glad your daddy and your mama, whatever they've done for Christ, we need another generation to say, listen, no, is it my mama's God? And no, is it my daddy's God and my grandma and my grandpa's God? He's my God. Amen. a new devotion. And number six, a new dedication. A new dedication. Look at verse 17. She says, where thou diest, I will die. You know what she's saying there? She's saying, I ain't going in halfway. She's not saying, you know what, I'm gonna dip my toe into the pool of Bethlehem, but you know what, if it doesn't just turn out just right, then I'm gonna hightail it back to Moab. She said, no, I'm going all the way. I am jumping in. I'm all in. You know what some of you need to do this morning? Do the same thing with the Lord. Quit tiptoeing with this thing. Quit singing the songs of Jesus on Sunday morning and then hanging out with the world's crowd on Monday morning. Get all in. You say, I don't have any peace in this thing. I don't know what's wrong with my Christian life. I'll tell you what's wrong with your Christian life. It's half-hearted. Get in, man. Get in. That's what Ruth did. She said, where thou diest, I will die. By the way, it sounds like a lifetime commitment to me. Amen. Ain't no plan B here. New dedication. Number seven, a new destiny. There will I be buried. Not even death can separate us from the love of Christ. I love those verses in the book of Romans chapter 8. What can separate me from the love of Christ? And he goes through the list. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah for that. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. I don't know about you, friend, but I think that's one of the sweetest declarations of faith in the whole Bible. In verses 16 and 17. Now, I'm done, but listen to me. Give me one more minute. Elimelech made a bad choice. He lived by sight. And it hurt him dearly. Ruth, by the way, hang on a second. Elimelech had a good start, made a bad choice. Ruth had a bad start, but she made a good choice. And here's the thing. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. You say, well, preacher, you don't know the bad choices. You don't. Get it under the blood. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you just go all in for the Lord. And be just like Ruth. And you'd be glad you did. My dad today loves to go to church. Absolutely loves it. Has every excuse not to go. Today I can't remember the last time he's not been in church. My dad's a very sick man today. Very sick, gravely ill. My dad was drafted, and tell you a 30-second story and I'm done. My dad was drafted in Vietnam, came home, married my mom. I was born. 2 years later, my brother was born. When my brother was born, he contracted spinal meningitis, lived 9 months. And died. My mom was backslidden away from the Lord. My dad was not saved. Somebody came and knocked on our door. The Baptist church in our small town in Pennsylvania. And led my dad to Christ. My mom, who was backslidden, got saved. And got right with God. I was 3 years old at this time. 3 years later, I got saved as a 6-year-old boy. 3 years later, as a 9-year-old boy, I surrendered my life to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you that story to tell you this. When my dad was at the crossroads of his life, he made the right choice. And not only did it affect him, are you listening, neighbor? It affected my mom, and it affected me. I think many, many times, what would have happened if my daddy would have gotten bitter on God? What if my dad, when that preacher came and knocked on his door, I don't want to hear about your God. Look at my son, he's dying. I don't want to hear about your God. If your God's alive, then why is my son the way it is? Friend, if he would have said that, I probably wouldn't have been standing here today. I'd probably either be in hell or on my way there. What I'm saying is, our decisions carry a lot of weight. I'm glad I had a daddy who did what Ruth did and said, I'm in, and I'm all in. And I can tell you, most of you don't know my dad, but I can tell you he's not a Sunday morning Christian. He loves the Lord. And lived for the Lord in front of us. And friend, God wasn't Sunday morning religion to me. He was a living reality, even as a little kid. The question I have for you this morning is, what is your choice? And by the way, as I've already said, you will make one. What will be your choice? Maybe this morning you do not know if you died today that heaven would be your home. You need to be saved. You need to make that choice. I want to be saved. We'll have someone take the Word of God and show you. Some of you say, well, I'm saved. I haven't followed the Lord in believers' baptism. You need to make the choice to obey the Lord. Some of you say, well, I'm saved. I've been baptized, but I believe God's leading me to join Grace of Calvary Baptist Church. Then follow the Lord. Some of you say, I need to stop doing this. I need to start doing that. Then follow the Lord and follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Don't be an Elimelech. Don't live by sight. Don't live by what your senses are. Be like Ruth and make the decision and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heads bowed. Our eyes are closed. What is your choice? And again, don't tell me this morning you're not going to make one. You absolutely will. What is your choice? Will you be an Elimelech? Or will you be a Ruth? Will you live by sight? Or you live by faith? What is your choice? Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around this morning. Would there be one that would say, preacher, I'm not even sure that I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name. But would there be one that would say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? I'm the only one's looking. Preacher, that's me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Anybody like that? You'd be honest before God, who already knows your heart. That's me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. You're a child of God. Has God spoken to your heart? You're a child of God. Has God taken this message today, perhaps to be a warning to you? Maybe some choices that you've been making are not pleasing to the Lord. And God, by His grace and love and mercy and kindness to you, has spoken to you this morning and said, hey, maybe you need to come. Maybe you need to get all in. Maybe you say, well, I've just kind of been half-hearted in this thing lately. No, friend. God only works one place, and it's first place. I heard my preacher from Georgia say this a few weeks ago when I preached the revival. I got sat down, and he made a statement I'll never forget, I don't believe. He said, the hardest way to live the Christian life is halfway. What a statement. The hardest way to live the Christian life is halfway. He's absolutely right. Why don't we stand to our feet? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. Our brother's going to come lead us in a congregation song. God has spoken to your heart this morning. You mind the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for Ruth. Thank you for all the things that she went through, but yet she made a great decision. A great decision that truly even affects us because she became an heir of Jesus Christ. Became an heir. All the things she enjoyed, all because of a choice that she made. No doubt, Lord, she had no idea all the things that would happen after she made that choice. But Lord, she just followed you. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help us to be totally surrendered to what you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother, why don't you come lead us in a song, would you please? God has spoken to your heart. Would you leave your place and come? Don't tarry. Make the right decision. 826-826.